Good to see all of you tonight. You know, this morning we spoke to you about storms that often arise in our lives. You know, storms are not always bad. Trouble is not always bad. Sometimes our perception of the things that happen to us really distort the clear picture that God wants us to see. If I were to ask you tonight, are you going through trouble in your life? Or perhaps have you had trials this last week? Or perhaps even do you anticipate them this week? You probably would answer in the affirmative. We all do. There are times when we have to break free from the past, and we have to learn to enjoy the hardships that life often brings unto us. And there are many of them. Job said, "Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble." And it's true, isn't it? We are born into this world crying, we live complaining, and we often die unhappy. Now, that's true, and I know that's a sad picture in a way. But we all have troubles. I read the other day, someone said, you know, that you're in deep trouble. When the stewardess on your American Airlines flight tells you not to fasten your seatbelt, or your accountant's letter of resignation is postmarked Panama, or you have to hitchhike to the bank to make your late car payment. You know you're in deep trouble when the Little League puts you on waivers, or your secretary tells you that the FBI is on line one and the DEA is on line two and CBS is on line three. Or you know you're in deep trouble when you take an assertive training course and you're afraid to tell your wife about it. Or your pacemaker only has a 30-day guarantee. Or the pest exterminator crawls under your house and never ever comes out. You know you're in deep trouble. There are times when we find ourselves engulfed in trouble. And we can do one of two things. We can allow the trouble to make us stronger, or we can allow the trouble to weaken us. It is a matter of whether we use the trouble to become a stepping stone or whether it really becomes a stumbling block in our life. And I'm afraid in most cases it is the latter. Many, many times in our lives we, instead of breaking free and realizing that trouble comes into our life for a purpose, sometimes we just sing the old song, "Doom, Despair, and Agony on Me." Many people have a hard time dealing with the struggles of their lives because they are too busy fretting about the future. You see, their future is often tainted by the failure and the problems of the past. And as a result, they are immobilized and their ability to function has been paralyzed. So I want to share with you tonight what I really believe enables us to break free from the past and actually learn to enjoy the hardships of life. Now, I know that sounds counter to what the world would have you believe, because the world wants us to believe that if we experience trouble in life, then there is something wrong with us, or God is bringing it on us in a way to punish us, and that is not the case at all. I would tell you, first of all, number one, that hardship and trouble is necessary. It is a necessary part of our life. It is. You see, Jesus said that in this life, he says, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. In the 16th chapter of the book of John and verse 33, we find Christ saying these words, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. For in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Now, James said what I really echoed at the beginning of the lesson tonight in the book of James 1, verse 2 and 4, and it really isn't what most of us want to hear. It certainly was not what the New Testament church wanted to hear when they were undergoing all these struggles and these trials in their life, when many of them were being persecuted even to the point of death. And we know that happened. Saul of Tarsus was even involved in it. And we know historically that many of those in the first century died the death of the martyr because of their deep faith in God. But James 1, verse 2 and 4 says, "My brethren," he says, "count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, for a long time in my life as a young person, when I encountered problems, I was typical, I guess, with most people. I used to think, well, you know, why? And you start questioning God about it, and you start saying, well, is there some reason you're allowing all this or bringing this all into my life? And I never really comprehended it until I got a little bit older and began to realize that God is the one who brings security. And he often says unto us, as we were singing in that song a moment ago, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes we just have to get alone in the quietness of the hour with God. And God, you've often heard me say this too, and it's true. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. And he does. Many of us have never, ever really taken this verse seriously, however. We laugh and we say, oh, yeah, that's true for someone else, but not for me to take joy in my tribulations. But it is true. It is true. We must find joy in the hardships of life and the difficulties of the moment. And there are three reasons how I really believe that we can do this. First of all, the troubles of life help us to keep on track with God. Do you know that most people don't really stay on track with God? We have a way of kind of deviating a little bit here to the left or a little bit to the right, or sometimes we don't always stay faithful to God unless trouble comes in our life. And I've seen it happen many, many times. You know, when you're going through good times in your life, prosperity is at your beckoning call, and everything is wonderful in your life. You're healthy, you're happy, you're wealthy. Everything is going great. Then you can have a relationship with God, but you choose not to. You choose to have a relationship with the world, and you believe that you are the master of your fate. And we fail to realize that until trouble comes into our life. When I think about so many biblical characters in the Old Testament, and there are many of them, you know, as long as things were well and going good, they didn't need God. But when trouble came, they fell to their knees in the presence of their Maker. And I'm telling you, that is a typical response of most people in today's world. When you go through trouble, you get closer to God than any other time. I'm telling you, it's true. When you have a death in your family, or when you have illness, or when you have financial problems, as we mentioned this morning about those storms, I can tell you it is then that you feel the proclivity to really get into the presence of God and to draw near unto Him. So what we can do is really learn from those difficult times in life, because God helps keep us on track. David, in the book of Psalms 119 and verse 67, offered these words of encouragement. He said, "Before I was afflicted," he says, "I went astray. But now," he says, "I keep your word." Before I was afflicted, before those trials or problems came into my life, I went astray. But because of the problems and the difficulties, I was made stronger. David said, "It was good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes." But it takes hardship, secondly, for God's kingdom to fully emerge in our lives. Now, as odd as that may sound, it takes struggle and it takes pressure that comes through hardships for the kingdom of God to fully emerge and overcome the power of darkness. You see, struggles and hardships bring forth a clashing of the kingdoms. of which releases the power of the kingdom of God. You know, the church would never really mean as much to us if we didn't have problems in our life. I think that really is what the writer is saying. So be thankful for the problems that you face in life and understand and try to allow those things to be a learning experience for you. And understand there is a purpose behind what you have to go through in life. The early church, and I can tell you, when they were facing those moments of death and when they knew that they were going to die, they felt close to God, but they didn't give up. Sometimes people have a tendency to blame God for all the things that go on in their life. I've heard beekeepers say that when a bee lays an egg in that little six-sided cubicle, that they put just enough honey in there and they seal the top of it with wax. And they put just enough honey in it for that little egg to develop and finally become a bee, a honeybee. And then it will struggle and it will fight its way out of that enclosed area, that wax that is there. And they would go on to say that if they were to come out prematurely, that they would die. They would never fly. But it is because they're flexing their wings and they're struggling and they're fighting and they're pulling and they're twisting and they're turning. And when they finally emerge, they can soar in flight. And I've often thought, isn't that the way it is with us? Trials make us stronger. Even trials in the church, even when people are bad-mouthing the kingdom of God and the Lord's church, it's a time for us to be made stronger and have a deeper resolve to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. It matters not what other people say. You know, people used to badmouth the church in the first century. They do it today. That certainly isn't uncommon. And we've been going through a study of the book of Acts in our Bible class here on Sunday morning. And you know, the Apostle Paul was going through great difficulty in his life. Paul did not relent. Paul did not give up in the face of that outside verbal abuse and the onslaught, if you will, of criticism that came. When Paul got to the end of his life, he would say that I have fought the good fight. He didn't give up. He said, I've kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I finished the course. And he said, now there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not only me, but to all of them that love his appearing. When I read of Paul in the book of Acts, in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 22, the Bible says that they went about strengthening souls of the disciples. Notice this, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter into the kingdom of God. And it's true. But thirdly and last of all, struggles and hardship sift out the impurities in our lives. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 and 28, the Bible says this. Now this, yet he says once more. And it indicates in this particular passage the removal of those things that really are being shaken. Paul goes on to say that there are some things that cannot be shaken. And one of them is our faith. We want to shake the impurities out of our life. We want those things to be removed. But the things that are good and the things that are wholesome should never, ever be shaken from us. And he says, therefore, since we are receiving the kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. I am convinced that there's a reason for problems in life. And I don't let it shake my faith anymore. You know, I used to, like I said, go through problems and You know, we all have that tendency to question God and say, why? But we just have to say, you know what? God has a will and a purpose behind all this. We don't always understand it. The death of a loved one, you get ill, you may not understand it. You may go through those storms, as I said this morning, these problems financially. You may be going through a problem with your children. You may be going through a problem with a church member. And you have to realize, hey, as long as you're doing what's right, God brought it into your life for a purpose. Learn from it. There's something that we can all learn from the problems that we face. Paul did that. And he went on to say in the book of Romans 8 and verse 31, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? There is no greater power in all the world than the power of God. And if God is for you, what power is there that could be against you? That's more superlative than that of Jehovah God. I know in every life, and I know in this congregation, there are people that go through trials. Sometimes I'm privy to them when you're not. Sometimes people call upon Dale and I to counsel with them and to be with them when they go through problems and troubles in their life. And we have always stood with them. We have always been there as elders in the body of Christ to encourage them and to lift up the weak and the downtrodden and to help them to see a purpose behind those things. And sometimes we don't always understand it. But we know that God really is, as we often say, and it becomes such a trite statement with people, that God is in control. But it's not trite. It's true. And so I hope that whatever struggle you may be agonizing with tonight, or whatever problem you may be agonizing with tonight, that you'll try to look at it in a little bit different perspective. And to realize that God is going to help you get through that problem. Now, you may not really believe that at this moment, but I hope you can come to believe it. And I hope you'll trust Him. And to realize that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's promised that. And the writer of Hebrews said it, didn't he? He said, of God, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And He won't. As long as we do His will. And I'm going to tell you something. Whatever hardship I have to go through in my life, listen, I'd rather get into heaven maimed than to go into hell whole. And whatever trouble I have to experience here, I just have to realize that my God loves me and He hasn't forsaken me. And I just have to hold on to Him. And I hope tonight that you will. And I hope if you're a Christian and you feel weakened in your spirit, maybe as others who responded this morning and those who have been baptized in recent days, I hope that as you view your life, think about your own soul tonight and where you are. And if you feel that you're a distance away from God, not where you want to be, then I hope you'll come back to Him tonight. And come back to the Lord's church, to the people that love you and the people that will sustain you and help you and encourage you and lead you through those struggles. You know, I've often thought about all those people that go through so many trials in life that do not have the church and do not have God. It would be a miserable, miserable experience. And I've been with many of them who have faced those. But I hope tonight, if you can believe what I'm telling you tonight to be true, and I hope you will believe it because it's God's word. And if you do believe it, that you'd come to accept it as a Christian and allow God to help you and lift you up. If you're not a Christian, as I mentioned this morning, there is every reason to feel insecure and to know that God is not with you. But He has promised in Romans 8 and verse 28 that all things will work together for our good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. It's true for the Christian. It can be true for you. If you believe in Him and you'll confess His sweet name, and through a penitent attitude you'll be immersed in water baptism, and then coming out of that water you experience that new birth, born again into the family of God. A family of believers, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says, for we're all baptized into one body and to one spirit. And you can experience that tonight. David has selected that song of encouragement that we're going to sing. And I hope tonight that we will respond in like manner as they did in New Testament times to the troubles, to the trials, to the anxieties that they faced, and do it with confidence. Let us stand and let us sing.